Take a seat. Good
morning.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to today's edition of the Board of Public Works. We will go ahead and get started with the business of the day. Secretary Gonta, good morning.
Morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Madam Comptroller and Mr. Treasurer. There are 15 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning in one report of emergency procurement contract award. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Great, thank you so much. I would actually like to start with item four, which is a request from the Commission on State Debt to approve the state property tax rate for fiscal year 2026. And I wanted to start with that, saying that I am very, very pleased to report that for the third year in a row, we are not increasing the state property tax. And I want to highlight that because when I first introduced this administration's budget proposal back in January, we made one thing very, very clear, was that the state of Maryland will not balance this budget on the backs of working and middle class families. Everything we were going to do was to make sure that working and middle class families were not just protected inside of this moment, but also that we could give just a little bit of extra breathing room for families that were actually receiving a whole lot of additional pressure. And we knew that that was going to be a challenging task because we knew that we were facing not just both historic fiscal challenges heading into this year's legislative session and fiscal challenges that we were not just going to kick the can down the road, but that we're actually going to solve them this time around. But also we know this session was made worse by the Trump administration and not just the incoming Trump administration, but the things that we've continued to see as they've now come on board, which has just been repeated irresponsible economic actions. And this administration worked with the General Assembly to make sure that we were going to pass a budget framework that not only was going to be fiscally responsible and disciplined, but also making sure that we were continuing to invest in our people. And I'm very proud to report that at the end of that process, we have turned an inherited structural deficit into now a structural surplus. I'm very proud to report that we are still keeping 8% in the rainy day fund, which is above the recommended amount. And I'm very proud to report that the state's tax code has just gotten modernized. And when we say it's gotten modernized, what it means is this, is that middle-class Marylanders have just gotten tax relief for the first time in nearly 20 years. So the promises that we have laid out, that we are going to have a balanced budget, that we were not going to do it on the backs of working and middle-class families, that we were going to make sure the middle-class and working families are getting a little bit of extra relief inside of this moment. And you can still do all of that and be fiscally disciplined. We kept our promises. And so by approving the state property tax rates in front of the board today, the comptroller, the treasurer, and I are reaffirming Maryland's commitment to protecting its middle class. And make no mistake, this is what responsible governance looks like. And I'm incredibly grateful for my partners in the work, the comptroller, the treasurer, General Assembly, and working to make sure that this happened. So with that, is there any other discussion on this?
Nope. Thank you.
I just want to commend the great job that the Commission on State Debt
did. We did.
Especially their chairman. Marvelous job. Congratulations.
That's exactly right. Amen on that. Amen on that. I'd also...
people looking around like, what are you talking? I'm the chair. They're sitting around looking at me like, what are you talking about?
I think they got it. I would next like to call up item nine, which is a request from the Department of Natural Resources to name two trails at Tucko State Park on the Eastern Shore in honor of two cornerstones of Black Maryland history. First trail will be dedicated to an amazing shero in Maryland history, and that is Anna Murray Douglas, who was an abolitionist and a member of the Underground Railroad, who was born in Denton in 1813, and is best known as, while she is and is known, and she was the first wife of Frederick Douglass and the mother of their five children, is also known for the remarkable contributions that she made to society and that she made to the people of this state. So she's known as a devoted mother. She's known as someone who is a who you would not know who Frederick Douglass was had it not been for Anna Marie Douglass. Let's be clear. But she was also a remarkable voice for freedom. She was an active member of the Lynn Ladies Anti-Slavery Society, who provided refuge to those who were fleeing slavery all along the Underground Railroad. And a remembrance of her service to the enslaved Black Americans who risked everything to pursue a more free life, not just for themselves, but for others. Anna's trail will now run to the Tuckahoe Park office and represent both Anna Murray Douglas's legacy in social reform, but is also deeply tied to local history. And the second trail will memorialize the historic Sandtown community. This Hillsborough-based township was originally formed as a gathering of homes for enslaved people, many of whom later purchased the same properties where they were once emancipated. And so in honor of its diversity and its resiliency, the Sandtown Trail will run along the southern side of Tuckahoe Creek, where old foundations and signs of the Sandtown community remain. And it's with that, with great pride and thankfulness, I also want to turn it over to Secretary Josh Kurtz over DNR to share more about these trail dedications. So Secretary Kurtz, thank you so much and good morning.
Good morning, sir, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, for the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department. And I just want to thank you all for the opportunity to talk about this. I think this is an incredible opportunity for us to recognize individuals and communities that have frankly gone for too long not being discussed and not being honored. I have a colleague who says, when they talk about trails, and I'm going to read it to make sure I get it right, is that these trails are more than paths through nature. They're threads through our shared history. And I think that's something that's really important about our parks. We're telling the story of Maryland. We're telling the story of how we have grown as a society. And I think this is incredibly important. As you said, sir, you know, fierce abolitionists, a conductor of the Underground Railroad in a part of our state that was so, so, so important for freedom. The trail, as you said, runs from the southern part up through Adkins Arboretum. It's a fantastic trail. It's been open since 2016. We are going to have a commemoration in September, so please feel free to come out on Public Lands Day to mark that. And then the Sandtown Trail, which is still under construction. So when this opens, it will be named the Sandtown Trail. And really interesting, I think that and thing that we're really excited about is continuing to learn about this community. And we have the foundations. Our understanding right now is that these were freed enslaved people who came back and purchased homes that they actually lived in when they were enslaved. So a really interesting story of the creation and the birth of this community. I also want to commend the Park Service, the work they did with descendants, not only of the community, but of the Douglas family, to ensure that we're getting this history correct. We're able to honestly and authentically tell this story. I think that's incredibly important, especially where we sit right now. And just very happy to bring this forward to you all today for your consideration. Appreciate the support.
Thank you so much. And Secretary Kurtz, thank you for your leadership on this. And please also extend it to your team, the outstanding work that they have done to really both highlight these change makers, but also just really establish these cultural hubs. So as we have Marylanders who are getting out, they're not just getting out for mental and physical health, but also just continue to be reminded of the remarkable history that we have. And so I encourage everybody to get a chance to get out there and visit the Tuckahoe State Park and these newly commemorated trails to go out picnicking and fishing and just go remember just how remarkable this great state of Maryland is. So, Ms. Secretary, again, thank you so much for everything. Thank you. And I also just want to briefly highlight item 10, which is a request from the Maryland State Authority to approve up to $121 million in bonds to finance capital projects all across several minor league baseball stadiums across the state. This bond funding, which is approved by the General Assembly in 2022, is the second round of support for design services and construction and repairs to improve the facilities at Harry Grove Stadium in Frederick, the Prince George's Stadium in Prince George's County, Purdue Stadium in Wicomico, Regency Stadium in Charles County, and Leidos Field at the Ripken Stadium in Harford County. It's exciting to know that we have such remarkable minor league ballparks, which don't just serve as a real funnel for, you know, for talent, but also just if any of you had a chance to visit any of these ballparks, I know you know, all of us have, a really, really fun family evening to get out and watch some really good baseball, especially when we're watching tougher days in Camden Yards right now, baseball. So while we're very proud of the investments that have been made over at M&T and Oriole Park, and have a deep commitment to Birdland and Ravens Flock and the entire Baltimore Renaissance, it's also really important to know how fortunate we are as a state to have such amazing sports entertainment venues all across the state of Maryland. And we really do encourage all Marylanders to get out and get out and enjoy it. And we have here the MSA director, Mike Frentz, who's able to say a little bit more about these investments. And first, congratulations and thanks for the leadership, director.
Thank you, Governor Moore. Good morning, Madam Controller, Mr. Treasurer. We at the MSA are really pleased to return to our stadium construction roots by doing the series of projects and also the projects at the stadium projects at the Camden Yards Sports Complex. As you alluded, these funds will allow Maryland's towns to continue to experience the joys of baseball, will help deepen the emotional attachment of fans with the Orioles, since all of the Maryland teams with minor league teams with MLB affiliations are affiliated with the Orioles. It will allow fans to see future major leaguers as well as potentially Hall of Famers. And finally, they serve as economic drivers for these communities. I want to thank our finance team and attorneys at MSA because there's an enormous amount of work that goes into a transaction like this, as you all know. Bond counsel, McKinnon, Shelton, and Henn, public finance advisor, public resources advisory group, our trustee, U.S. Bank Trust Company, and the underwriters, Morgan Stanley and Siebert William Shank, for their hard work on this transaction. Finally, I want to thank the MSA board for their diligent oversight and for approving this financing, and to this body for considering it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. And again, congratulations. Please extend my gratitude to the entire team and also to our chair.
Absolutely. He wished he could be here today, but he has a day job, as you know.
Yeah.
Get to do it. Yes,
that's right. That's right. But sincerely, we're all very, very excited. And again, encourage folks to get out to our fantastic minor league ballparks. With that, is there any further discussion on any of these items or the rest of the Secretary's agenda?
No discussion.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
And is there a
second?
Outstanding. Thank you so much. We'll proceed with, come on back up, Secretary Kurtz, with the Department of Natural Resources and their report. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 14 items for your consideration today. Myself and staff are here to answer any questions that you may have.
Wonderful. Thanks, Secretary. I would actually like to start by calling up item 2A, which requests to award $10 million in program open space local share funds for Baltimore County. And that's to acquire roughly 85 waterfront acres along the Seneca Creek and develop a future park. I wanted to call this up because the site is a former location of CP Crane Power Plant, which is a coal-fired facility that was closed in 2018. 3 years later, the property was acquired by the Foresight Development Group, who demolished the power plant in 2022. And since acquiring the CP Crane site in 2021, Foresight has been working with the Department of the Environment to perform environmental remediation and to remove pollutants from the surrounding waterfront areas. And last March, Baltimore County and also Foresight announced an agreement to preserve most of the site as future parkland, which is great because the funding that the board approved today is not only going to help to expand the recreational waterfront activities that people can benefit from all across the beautiful parks in Baltimore County, but it's also to preserve and it's to restore the vital woodland areas within many places within the Chesapeake Bay critical area zone, which has got to be a priority for the way we're looking at these spaces. And so it really is essential to strengthen the state's climate resilience. It's going to be essential to be able to get more people outside to enjoy. And I'm really excited for all the future updates that we're going to be able to see and how I think this project really also does help a unique standard and a unique platform for how we should be thinking about a lot of these lands and a lot of these areas. So thank you. Thank you for that one. With that, is there any further discussion on the DNR agenda?
No, I'll just thank Delegate Shalega and Nowrocki for their letter about this too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an exciting acquisition. Thanks.
It is. Okay. May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Secretary Kurtz, thank you. Next up, University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning. Good to see you.
Governor, good to see you. Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey representing University System of Maryland. There are 9 items on our agenda. We are withdrawing item 4S and item 8AE, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
What was the second one you mentioned?
8AE.
Is there any discussion on?
Just a quick question. It's not meant to get into it, but I'm just curious. On 3S, we asked for 2.1 on the MBE. It came out at 7.2. How does that sort of happen? Do they just sort of, how does that process work? Do they just sort of come back and go, hey, this is our bid, and oh, by the way, we can do more than you ask for? How does it go from 2.1 to 7.1?
So the way that it works is there's something called a procurement review group, or PRG, that examines the availability of MBE firms, the amount of subcontractable work in the contract. There's a consultation with the Governor's Office of Small, Women, and Minority Business Affairs, and the goal is established that's set to be realistic and achievable. We're thrilled that this firm came forward with a larger MBE participation. And one of the reasons for that, and I have Frostberg on the line, is that this firm, Aladdin, the recommended contractor, is currently working at Bowie State University. So they're the food service provider there, and they have a relationship with this MBE firm that was willing to travel out to, you know, what Frostburg is in far western Maryland. So there are not a lot of MBE firms in that area. They're mostly located in central Maryland. So this MBE firm that currently works with Bowie is willing to make that trip as part of the relationship with the firm, Aladdin. And Frostburg, again, is on the line if there are further questions. But we're thrilled that they came forward with a larger MBE percentage.
If I can just double click on that, it happened because of intentionality. You know, what the work that this board, what the work that you continue to push on, a lot of credit to Manny Welch and also his team as well. As you're right, where the initial pitch was put on, it was with an understanding and also with support to be able to say, these numbers are achievable, even in a place where oftentimes there has been a challenge when it comes to hitting our MBE numbers. And so the fact that they have exceeded the recommended amount, I think is actually a real credit to the fact that the message is getting out and the intentionality does matter, and people are getting smarter and creative about making sure that things should not have to get rebid. You should be able to hit the number the first time. So well done.
Can I ask a question? So is this now an appraisal? So the next time this goes out, will it go back to having a 2%, or will it now have a minimum 7.1% MBE goal? And will that be the starting place?
You know, it all depends on, you know, in the future, there could be more, and that's what we're hoping to see, is more certified MBE firms so that you can set the appropriate goal. And again, it's got to be something that you feel is realistic and achievable, not a situation where you have to grant or firms come back and request a waiver from an MBE goal. We don't want that situation.
Right. Just given that now we know that 7% is achievable and realistic, it feels like in the future.
In this particular situation, this firm was able to leverage their existing business relationship with the MBE subcontractor, again, from Bowie State University, that was willing to make the, you know, this is a food wholesaler. So it's delivering food to West Far Western Maryland.
Right.
And they operate in Central Maryland, but they are, because of their relationship with Aladdin, the recommended firm, they're willing to make that trip.
Thank you.
If I can, just one final point to sort of follow up on what the comptroller's saying. There seems to be, and not just with the University System of Maryland, but with others, like a unreadiness, if you will, with having to do a waiver. I'd rather, for me anyway, I'd rather you be aggressive, and then if it can't be met, then go ahead and do the waiver down to what's realistic, then set something lower. And then people go, okay, well, that's all they're asking is 2.1. I think, it, especially in these challenging times, people will go wherever to get work and so forth. So if we're aggressive with the goal, then even if we have to lower it, worst case scenario, that we have to lower it some, you know, we're sort of pushing that envelope. We're trying to do as best we can. And it's, so for me anyway, it's okay to go, we didn't meet the goal, but we tried. I'd rather have a high goal and we come in less than to have a low goal and then to exceed it, because I'll leave it right there. I'm just saying there's no shame in not meeting an aggressive goal versus setting it too low just so we can meet the goal.
Very loud and clear.
Is there any other discussion points in the U.S. Senate, Jen?
Nope.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much.
Very much.
Work. Now we'll move on to Ms. Radomski and Dottie. Morning.
Good morning. Welcome, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today we are withdrawing item 11LL and presenting 12 agenda items for your consideration. We are seeking approval of three awards to certified small business enterprises valued at over $965,000 and one award to a duly certified small and disadvantaged business enterprise valued at $7 million.
Is there any discussion on that agenda?
Just a quick item on item four, on the mobility paratransit operations. I know that's been a pain point for the agency for many years, and it's good to see these contracts coming through. And I also just wanted to note, you know, yesterday was Earth Day, that I understand that MTA has 75 hybrids that it will be purchasing, hybrid SUVs to support these contracts. And it's great to see MTA sort of greening its fleet as part of these contracts, and certainly demonstrates a commitment to reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. You know, I continue to push that I would love to see that kind of resilience and sustainability information as part of all of our BPW items, just for the public's benefit, but certainly look forward to other ways in which MDOT and other agencies incorporate sustainability aspects into their projects and contracts. Thanks.
Thank you, Governor. Definitely working on that.
Thank you.
Is it 12 or 11?
It is 12.
12 is being withdrawn, Governor.
12
is
being
withdrawn. Treasurer, number 12 is being withdrawn.
Is there any further discussion on the MDOT agenda? No. May I have a motion to approve the MDOT
agenda? Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks. Thank you. We will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, good morning.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, we have 47 items on our agenda. Our agenda does feature 16 capital grants and loans, totaling over $14.8 million. I did want to highlight one in particular, and that's item 3 CGL, which provides $250,000 in state support to the 29th Street Community Center located in Baltimore City to renovate its 12,000 square foot headquarters for expanded health, wellness, and STEM programming. The 29th Street Community Center, attached to the Barclay Elementary and Middle School, serves over 600 city residents annually, providing community and after-school programming and space for community events. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business contracting in our state, our agenda does feature 5 contract awards and modifications to certified minority businesses totaling more than $6.5 million. And we have AZ representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. And I understand we have a number of speaker requests in for today related to several capital grants and loans that are in front of the board. So I will ask that we will keep all speakers, they can limit their comments to 3 minutes. Mr. Secretary, I've asked you can keep folks to that 3 minutes. We'll go on to item 6 CGL, which requests to award $100,000 in grant funding to the board of directors of the Chesapeake Conservatory to support capital improvements at the Earl Conservation Center, which is a hub where local nonprofit environmental organizations can meet and share office space. So I'd like to recognize and welcome EJ Amiot, who is the interim CEO of the Chesapeake Conservatory.
Thank you. For the record, my name is EJ Amiot. Excellent. And currently serve as interim CEO for the Chesapeake Conservancy. Thank you, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Treasurer. I'm here today to speak on DGS item 6, $100,000 for the Chesapeake Conservancy for the Earl Conservation Center. At the Chesapeake Conservancy, our mission is to conserve and restore the natural and cultural resources of the Chesapeake Bay watershed for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration of future generations. The Chesapeake Conservancy recently found our permanent home at 1212 West Street. Through the amazing generosity of the Earl family, Chesapeake Conservancy was able to purchase the building at 1212 West Street, formerly the Maryland Municipal Building, and open the Earl Conservation Center. It was the Earl's dream to open a space for like-minded conservation partners to office together and work towards protecting our beautiful Chesapeake Bay. Right now, the office is home to the Chesapeake Conservancy, Blacks of the Chesapeake, Chesapeake Legal Alliance, and MAO, Maryland Association of Environmental and Outdoor Education. We have begun to create a space that protects, tells the stories, and educates others about one of nature's most amazing offerings, the Chesapeake Bay. We hope that with this funding, we can continue to make necessary improvements to the Earl Conservation Center to allow a more welcoming and collaborative space for our current nonprofits and others alike. The building still needs some work, and with this funding, it'll allow us to continue to develop our permanent home and provide essential work for our community and the beautiful Chesapeake Bay. Thank you.
Beautiful. Great work. Thank you. Thanks for standing up. Thank you. We'll go on to item 10 CGL, which is a request to award $150,000 in grant funding to the Board of Trustees at Lord's Church to support capital improvement at the church's outreach center, which is served as a community center for town halls and public health events all throughout the area. So I'd like to recognize Bishop Elliott representing Lord's Church, who has signed up in support of this item. Bishop Elliott, it is good to see you again.
Good to see you. Good morning. For the record, Bishop Kevier Elliott, senior pastor of the Lord's Church. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Treasurer, we are humbly grateful for this grant to come and help us in an impoverished area, to help us build up the outreach center, to do construction. There's much that needs to be done. This is the beginning. We are there for the community. We share food for the community. We clothe the community. And we're beginning to reap some of the benefits of the blessings that we have poured out. And so we're grateful for what you have decided to do in helping us with this endeavor. Of course, I wear many hats. I am the vice president of We Are Us, and we're working diligently in that community for the well-being of the people of the community. So we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bishop. And we'll move on to item 13 CGL, which requests to award $175,000 to the board of directors of No Struggle, No Success, which is supporting building renovations for future youth and adult services in Baltimore City. And I'd like to recognize Jeanette Graham, who's the founder of No Struggle, No Success, who's going to join us virtually to talk about the work. Ms. Graham, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, sir.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning to you and everyone else. I'm excited and grateful for the support and this capital grant. I serve 220 returning citizens every year, youngest 14, oldest 65. Maryland Avenue is our home, renovating it to ensure that we have emergency housing to reduce recidivism and homelessness, along with full service reentry services for the state of Maryland. It is a matter of public safety and health, and I hope that everything goes well with this grant so we can continue to do the work that we did. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll say thank you also for your work on behalf of the 220 souls and families that you are supporting every single year as well. Any further discussion on DGS?
I just want to give a shout out to my team on item 42. This is to execute a new 10-year lease. We are relocating our regional branch office from Elkton to Bel Air to better meet the needs of Marylanders. This is a new, easily accessible, visible, and geographically convenient location in Bel Air. We're hopeful to open it around the end of the summer or early fall, and it'll just allow us to better serve taxpayers and Marylanders in Cecil, Harford County, or wherever they may come from. So just a shout out to our Elkton branch manager, Ronnie Johnson, and his team, as well as Anna Garay, who is our brand new director of taxpayer services. You didn't know that, so she just got yet. So excited about Anna. And then also a big thanks to our deputy chief of staff, Emily Hollis, who's been shepherding this through working closely with the great team at DGS. So thank you, Mr. Secretary.
All right. Thanks. Is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. That concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Oh, please, course.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. And sorry to interrupt. I'll let people go soon. Usually in the beginning, we give a couple comments to recently departed colleagues. And I just wanted to mention the Pope's passing. Pope Francis was a particularly amazing human being and an incredibly decent and wonderful and humble man in incredibly challenging times. And, you know, I'm so glad that I think it was somewhat of a miracle that he became Pope at all. I know that I, as well as, you know, millions of people around the world, were grateful for his very humble service and his outspoken advocacy for migrants, for the climate, and for human rights. And I will miss him and hearing of him. And I'm just thinking of Catholics and all those who loved him around the world. Thanks. Thank you.
May he rest in peace.
Yep.
His legacy live forever. That concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. The next meeting will be May 7th, and we look forward to seeing you all then and in travel and health and peace. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.